Shkalim, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel, 7-3 and more, decision making under uncertainty. Here we're talking about what to do with meat that you find. So the Mishnah starts out by saying, Basar shenimtza ba'azara. If you find meat in the azara, the temple courtyard, should before we read anything more, the din is going to be that it's of course sacrificial meat, and since it hasn't been attended to and kept an eye on, we're afraid it became tamei, and the rule is it's going to have to be burned. We don't have to ask any questions in terms of figuring which kind of sacrificial meat it might be. In all cases, since we're afraid it's tamei, it can't be offered, it has to be burned, and that's the end of that. But there are other questions that could arise, like, for example, what if someone ate this meat? Is he liable? So that would depend if it's what type of sacrifice we're ascribing this unknown meat to be. If we assume, for example, it's ola, then no one's allowed to eat it, and if they did, they'd be liable for me'ila. Whereas if we assume it's a chatas meat, then if a kohen did eat it, so then he wouldn't be liable for me'ila, because kohen are allowed to eat chatas meat, etc. Whereas if a non-kohen, a zar, ate it, so then certainly he would be liable for eating sacrificial meat if he's not allowed to eat it as a zar. So therefore we have to identify what type of meat it might be, but that's for questions of me'ila. In all events, again, we're going to burn this meat. So the Mishnah says, Basa shnimtza ba'azara. What do you do if you find meat inside the azara? What kind of sacrificial meat do you assume it is? If it's avarin, if it's an entire limb, like a whole leg, so then, olos, then you can assume that this came from a korban ola, a burnt offering, because the rule is when it comes to an ola, it all goes on the mizbeach and is burned, but it's butchered into very specific pieces. So if a whole piece as opposed to, say, you know, lamb chops, so then it's just a whole leg of lamb, it's obviously was destined to be an ola, and therefore it'll be treated as such. V'chatichos, on the flip side, if you find actual, you know, steaks, lamb chops there in the azara, then chataos, then you should assume that this came from a chatas, a korban chatas. The reason why a chatas of all things is because as follows. Korbanos come in two varieties, zivachim, animal sacrifices, kadshe kadshim and kadshim kalim. Kadshe kadshim, the more higher kodesh, sanctified, must be eaten by kohanim and must stay inside the azara. Whereas kadshim kalim, the lesser sanctified, is taken by the owners typically and eaten outside anywhere in Jerusalem. So if you're finding meat inside the azara, it must be it's from the kadshe kadshim, and kadshe kadshim comes in three varieties, ola, chatas, and asham. We said if it's an ola, it would be whole limbs. If it's butchered into small pieces, lamb chops, that you wouldn't do that to an ola, so therefore it must be either a chatas or an asham. And since there are many reasons you bring a chatas, 43, whereas when it comes to the asham, there's only six types of ashamos, and they're rather infrequent, so therefore we should assume it is a chatas. Now, Birushalayim, if you find this meat, find meat in the city of Jerusalem, the walled city of Jerusalem, so then we still should assume that it's sacrificial meat because the overwhelming majority of meat in Jerusalem was sacrificial meat in the time of the Mishnah. But what kind of sacrificial meat? Zivche shlamim, will assume it's from a shlamim, a peace offering, because that was by far the most frequent type of offering that was brought, which will be taken out and consumed in Yerushalayim. Now, in all events, at all events, we're not going to offer this meat on the Mizbeach or eat it because we're afraid that it has become tamei in the meantime. No one supervises it, and you can't eat tamei kachim. So it'll have to be burned. When do you burn it? After tubar tsuraso, once it's lost its halachic shape, if you will. That is to say, when this particular type of meat is no longer edible and must be burned. So in the case of an ola and a chatas and an asham, that the kachay kachem you find in the azara. So the rule is if you find it on a Monday in the afternoon, so assuming the korban came and was offered on that Monday, so you'd be able to eat the chatas Monday and all of, like I'll call it Monday night until midnight, and midrabanan, midrais, you could have until, like, you know, sunrise on, or first light, I should say, on Yom Shlishi, Tuesday morning. And at that point, it's for sure forbidden, and at that point, you could burn it. In the case of, so that's what you do. If you find, that's true for ola and chatas, and therefore, if you find meat in the azara, you wait till the next day, and you'll burn it then. In the case of the shlamim, if you find meat in the the rest of Yerushalayim, so then the shlam can be eaten for 2 days and the intervening night. And that being the case, if you found it on a Monday during the day, you'd have the rest of the Monday day all through Monday night, Tuesday morning, and then at Tuesday at sundown, let's call it, that's the end of your time to be able to eat from the shlamim. Then you'd burn it the next day, so that would be, so to speak, Wednesday morning. So that's the difference. We're deciding when to burn it based on where you found it in the Azara versus Yerushalayim. But at all events, it has to get burnt. Now, what about Nimtza Begvulin? What happens if you find meat just anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, somewhere out beyond Jerusalem? So then, Eivarin, if you find a whole unbutchered into pieces, just a whole piece, a whole leg of lamb or something lying around in the street, then Nevelos, so you have to assume it's a Nevela, an animal that didn't get a proper Shechita, and it's not kosher at all. The reason is because why would someone leave a whole leg of lamb lying around unless it's just it's meat that wasn't kosher and he left it for the dogs to eat? In the time of the mission, of course, they didn't have the civil services that we have today and the infrastructure, so they didn't have the garbage can. You left it out for the dogs. But you wouldn't take the time to butcher it into steaks if it's going to be dog food. So you put out a whole limb there. You only break into small limbs so that the dog can get a hold of it. If, on the other hand, chatichos, it's chopped up into pieces, little steaks, so then mutaros, then you could eat it because you can assume that this is kosher meat. Why would someone take the time to butcher it if it wasn't for eating? The case of our Mishnah is where you've got, at least midoraisa, everyone agrees that for order for the meat to be kosher or treated as kosher, it has to be in a town where the majority of the meat is kosher. That means the majority of the butchers are kosher in town. At that point, midoraisa, we say, called a parish maruba parish. If you find something and you could assume it came from the majority of things like it, and since you're in a town where it's mostly kosher, you could assume this meat is kosher. Therefore, the Mishnah suggests you could eat it. Now, there is a machlokas between Rav and Levi in the Gemara, in Chulin, whether there's a din derabanan of basar hanelem in ha'ayin, meat that is no longer kept under continual supervision, if it is anyways forbidden midrabanan, because we're afraid it got switched with treif meat. Even if you know it's kosher, but you didn't supervise it and you stopped watching it, maybe it got switched out for treif meat, either by Gentiles switching out or even animals. So Rav holds, yes, there's an isur derabanan of all meat because of basar hanelem in ha'ayin, and therefore the case of Mishnah would have to be, this is a town, which, and this is the Bartonur explains it, like Rav, this is a town where there's only Jews and only kosher meat, and therefore there isn't any chance of this having switched out, really, because this all the meat in the whole town is all kosher meat. And as a side point, since there are sugyas talking about animals switching out the meat, it must be in a case, let's say, where it was in a wrapper, unlabeled wrapper, so an animal didn't switch it out, and there's no reason to think a non-Jew switched it out because there are no non-Jews around. That's the Bartonur learns, and that's like Rav. Levi understands there's no such din derabanan, and therefore if you find meat, you can assume it's kosher, assuming that the majority of the meat supply is kosher. And he doesn't hold to this basar nelem in ayin, just because he didn't watch it, doesn't all of a sudden make the meat not kosher. Halach lemaisa, by the way, the Shulchan Aruch brings both deyas, and Sfarim Asur Machmir, the Rama says the minhag is to be mekel, and therefore if you have basar nelem and ayin, you didn't watch it continually, but you have every reason to believe it's the same meat that you left, so then there's room to be lenient for Ashkenazim with the meat. But certainly not if you got up from your seat on the airplane and left your meat unattended, and then you have to be afraid the guy sitting next to you switched out. That would be true even for Ashkenazim Lechora, because there was the real possibility of the meat being switched out by the Gentile. Okay, so that's what we're talking about over here. Ubishas Haregel, the Mishnah ends up by saying, in the time of the pilgrimage festivals in Yerushalayim, when Shabasa Meruba, there's just meat everywhere, there's so much meat to go around because everyone has to bring karbanos, shlamim on an ongoing basis, then af evarn mutarn, then you can even assume if you find a whole, unsliced up leg of lamb, let's say, that it just actually was kosher, it's not a nevela, and the reason why it wasn't sliced into slices is because there's just too much meat to slice up and more meat than they could consume anyways. Therefore you consume as kosher, and the same machlokas Rav and Levi would apply about basar nelem in ayin.